The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Victory Monday, November 28th. 2022, Chiefs beat the Rams 26-10. But we're going to utilize Todd Lebo first to talk about college football, because there's a lot to talk about with college football, and then we'll get back into the Chiefs. Is that okay with you two gentlemen that are in the studio?
Absolutely. I love this. My favorite college football season ever.
I know you love it.
Boy, was this guy in a surly mood at your party.
I know.
He actually had expectations for his team.
At this point. I didn't.
Caesar, my best friend Caesar, who was in from St. Louis, who was not for my party, but he was in to see his family, but also there to go to my party. He had made sure to request, hey, because he's a KU grad, we got KU, K-State, Sunflower Showdown. I said, Caesar, you're an American hero. You served this country for 3 decades. I will have that on the TVs for you. And Lebo didn't like that.
No, I thought it was fine. And let me say this right now.
You didn't like it.
F325 was wonderful. What a great place. I had never been there before. Their food was excellent. It was very good. It was very good.
Right.
And I really enjoyed it. But the TVs were on for the case, and one guy was trying to change one for me. I said, don't worry about it. It's too complicated. Leave it for these people who love their Jayhawks and Wildcats, and they enjoyed it. I had my phone, I had my YouTube TV on there, and I knew what was going to happen, and then it happened. So Oklahoma lost, but that's what they've done all year. They've lost the last three games. They've lost by 3 points. It's wonderful.
They lost an overtime thriller.
Yeah, I guess it was a thriller. Ugh. Well, disgusting. That's not what we're here to talk about, though. You asked the question last hour. When is the last time all three of these teams went to a bowl game? It's happened once, and Nate was on the right track, because the Ron Prince era, although they went to a bowl game, that was his first year.
Yep.
And it started going downhill after that. So the year, I remember this year very well. It was an amazing year in sports history in Kansas City, 2003. Royals got off to the hot start and finished over 500 for the only time in whatever that stretch was. K-State won the Big 12 title, which they're playing for on Friday. Missouri went to the Independence Bowl, and Kansas went to the Tangerine Bowl. And the Chiefs started 9-0 and had a no-punt game in the playoffs. That was a really, really good year for it. Now, I'll tell you, here's the sad part about the whole thing. The Royals faded and didn't make the playoffs. Phillip Rivers threw for 7,000 yards against Kansas in their bowl game. K-State lost their Fiesta Bowl to Ohio State. Arkansas beat Missouri, and the Chiefs didn't make the Colts punt, and it ended in disaster. But right now, they all three have a chance to win a bowl game, so let's be excited about that.
There's
some similarities there, too, in that that Kansas team, it might have been the year before, but with Bill Whittemore at quarterback, got their butts kicked at K-State.
Mm-hmm.
And Whittemore had one drive in the game and moved it down the field on him, but he just wasn't big enough to handle getting hit by Big 12.
That K-State group of people.
K-State team and Big 12 guys were feisty. And that's kind of like I expected KU to get handled by K-State because I just don't think they're there yet
physically.
They kind of seem like, boy, they gave it everything they had this year, and they went out and they found a way to win 6 games, but as the meat grinder of the Big 12 schedule just continued to wear them down, they were just kind of running out of steam. Everybody was hurt in their backfield. Mm-hmm. A team like K-State's bigger and stronger and deeper.
Yeah.
They've just been around.
Hey, listen, it's great for Kansas. They're making a bowl game. They're going to get to practice more and then go win a bowl game. Now,
here's the most important part.
College football runs itself, and it's run often by morons. If the people in charge of putting these bowl games that I feel generally don't matter that much. If they can't,
they're not going to.
If they can't put Kansas and
Missouri,
not doing it. Who have exactly, there is no better way to put these two teams in a bowl game at the Liberty Bowl. That's the exact slot of where everything falls in the schedule or in the pecking order for these bowls and these conferences. If they don't do it, it's just embarrassing.
Missouri's going to the Vegas Bowl. I don't know why I said that. Maybe.
The opportunity's right there. Now, this is, I understand they didn't do this in college basketball for all the Big 12 SEC ones because there was anger and all this, you know. But they already have a football series on the schedule coming up in a few years.
Nate,
if
you
want
that?
To sell tickets to a bowl game that people will not go to, this is the way to do it.
I do think people would go to, Mizzou fans would go to Vegas.
I think they'd go to Memphis if it
well, sure
if they were
would.
Playing Kansas.
Sure. Right. But, okay, so, Nate, do you want that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it'd be, like Todd said, it's look for KU, to me, I actually am excited about the bowl game no matter who they play just because they're finally going to a freaking bowl game. You know, so, like.
And that's not that far away. And, it's simple enough. It's good.
Will I go?
No, probably not,
but not because I don't want to, but just because the stage of life that I'm in. I got three kids. We got stuff going on every weekend. I just don't know how realistic it is. And when you have a three-year-old, you can't take a three-year-old to a college football game. Not if you want to actually watch the game or have any fun.
Would you go if Mizzou and Kansas were playing in a soccer bowl down at Memphis?
No.
you would. Oh, the hell you wouldn't.
It's just, dude, we don't take our three-year-old to the sporting games. We have to find a babysitter every time, you know. So to go out of town, and a soccer game only lasts 2 hours. A college football game lasts 4.5. So we can't take our three-year-old to the game. And so, and you're talking about going out of town. It's just the stage of life we're in. I'll watch it for sure. But like, because like Caesar was asking, you going? And I'd love to go to watch KU in a bowl game.
So Caesar could do whatever he wants. He's an attorney at law.
Yep.
He's been serving this country in the Army since 1990. That man goes to every sporting event that involves the Chiefs, KU, or the Royals.
And I respect the hell out of that.
Even more than me. And I work in the business. I'm like, are you serious? You go to that? He does it all. He loves it. He supports his teams. He will. I can promise you, if that happens in Memphis, he'll be one of the first people to buy tickets.
You could drive down there quick and easy from St. Louis, too. It'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
So I expect it not to happen because why would it happen? Because it makes sense.
Because
that's
college football is dictated by people who don't have the best interest of the sport at heart. They have.
Well, that is the best interest of the sport, to have people actually go to bowl games. I promise you, I've been doing this for 15 years.
About.
I look at the attendance and the capacity of bowl games, it's a joke. For almost every bowl, no one goes. It's a way for ESPN to get programming. It's content. Yeah. And it's good content because people watch bowl games more than they watch some rant. This will be the most highly watched game involving a CUSA team or something when they play in some bowl game. But they watch bowl games because there's nothing else on, and they watch them. So, yes, they will watch them. But you know what they would do? They would go to it, and it would look great on TV if there was not 40,000 people at the Memphis Bowl, and there were 60,000 people at the Memphis Bowl, and they were enjoying it. So I don't expect it to happen. I am happy for Missouri that they made a bowl game and they got to beat Arkansas. Big for them. Big for Eli Drinkwitz. He's happy. It's his first win he's gotten since his contract extension. He needed to get one of those. And, I guess
he reacted like that was a big win for him. He knew how big that win was for him.
Arkansas is huge for him. It's huge because he almost went to Arkansas, and he's from there, basically. And it's a big game. I like that rivalry. It's a good rivalry. They've turned it into something.
Well, Arkansas's got to start winning more.
Yeah, Gabe DeArmond kind of poo-pooed it on Friday when I asked him about it. That surprised me a little bit. But
Missouri's won six of the last seven, and Arkansas's never won it in Columbia during this rivalry.
Yeah, it's turning into a fun thing because there's some recruiting back and forth. There's obviously Barry Odom on
staff. It's a fun thing for Mizzou fans. I don't think it's a fun thing for Arkansas fans.
Well, Arkansas fans got to watch did Bielma get fired on the field after that game?
Probably.
I think so. I don't know. It's good.
Barry Odom's defense held Brady Cook to 242 in the air and 138 on the ground.
It's pretty good. Jalen Hurts numbers.
I don't – like what in God's – whatever. Okay, so listen.
My favorite part of the game, Stephen, was how many times Arkansas just wanted to punt in the fourth quarter. Just keep punting.
Oh, yeah. Sam Pittman, that last punt, I'm going, there's no way they're punting.
He's got his own analytics, buddy. He's got his analytics. He's got Barry Odom's defense.
Okay, so ESPN has two people projecting bowls. One last name, Banagura, says Mizzou,
forget
Syracuse.
About it.
Mizzou, Syracuse, and the Birmingham Bowl.
Oh, yeah, that'll bring
and
him in.
And then Mark Schlabach says that I have no interest. Mizzou, Oklahoma State, and the Texas Bowl. And then the two have Kansas going to.
They got them in the first responsible bowl in one of them.
They both have them going to the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl to face either Memphis or UCF.
Oh, where is that game played?
That's somewhere
Fort Worth,
Texas.
Texas.
Yeah, Fort Worth.
Okay,
lovely this time of year.
Yeah, well,
let's move on to
we had to say this. K-State, let's mention this. Yeah. They're playing.
Well, I'm going to K-State right now.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know if we were going Chiefs, but K-State.
No, we're not done with college football. Okay. I said the whole segment. Come on,
okay.
Bebo. K-State number. Okay, the K-State and TCU Saturday, 11 a.m., which I think sucks, but that's fine. 11 a.m. at AT&T Stadium. I will be the first to go on the record, K-State wins this game.
Well, you're about
and also 15th. Takes the Big 12 out of the college football playoffs.
This has been predicted for weeks. This is exactly what will happen. TCU has made it through the gauntlet. They've gotten themselves in order. And I told you guys a month ago, don't put the nail in Nick Saban's coffin yet. He's just sitting there waiting to vulture a bid at this thing now because people are starting to lose.
Yep.
So if USC or TCU loses, Alabama is just laying right there. Ohio State is laying right there to get back in this thing without playing in their conference title game. I'll be interested to see what the rankings are. Now, I'll remind everyone of this. Do not look at these college football playoff rankings when they come out and think of them like the AP rankings where, oh, they won, they're going to definitely move up a spot, or they lost, they're going to move down a spot. The college football playoff rankings move wildly week to week because it's done by a committee, and I think they do things to cause a stir, as it were, sometimes. So don't take these things and think, well, if you're in the top four and you win, you're definitely in, because we've seen that's not the case because you can get jumped. But I'll promise you this, if TCU loses, they are out of the top four. They do not want TCU in this thing, and that's not just because of the Big 12. It's because it's TCU, and they don't have the following some of these others have. I have a good friend of mine who I went to college with. He works for the Peach Bowl, and, you know, he's in charge of communications for the Peach Bowl. You know who he's been dreading having in their game for
TCU.
2 months is TCU, because they don't have fans, and they don't travel, and they don't do all that stuff. They want Ohio State, Georgia, Michigan, whatever. That's
I bet
what
they'd rather
after.
Have K-State.
Oh, they'd definitely rather have K-State.
So listen,
they're
to
not
me.
Going
to
be there.
All three of us,
game.
Do we all agree? Yeah, Marco, he's a heavy gambler. All four of us, do we all agree K-State is going to win this game?
I think there's a very good chance they're going to win this game. And I have been poo-pooing TCU all year long because they've kind of snuck through a few times. Once again, this past week, they did knock Iowa State's quarterback out of the game. It was well in hand when they did it, but it is amazing how many games they have played at least a good portion, at least half the game against a backup quarterback.
Who are you picking?
I'm going to pick right now K-State, but TCU may be a team of destiny to go undefeated this year and get to the college football playoff. They played great on Saturday, very impressive on Saturday, but I like what K-State has, and you're asking me on Monday morning. I'm going to give K-State the slight edge here. I may change my mind if they, you know, if they decide they're going to play Adrian Martinez as a quarterback or something, you know. But I'll go K-State right now.
Yeah, I think K-State's probably going to win. I mean, it would be so Big 12. You know, it was funny because I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a K-State fan before the KU game, and we were just kind of talking about everything. And I said, "You guys are going to go beat TCU in the Big 12 title game," and the conference is going to miss out on the playoff, aren't you? And he said, you know, I actually have really mixed emotions about that. Like, obviously, I want K-State to win the Big 12 title. That's, you know, that's what you want if you're a K-State fan. But, you know, I do think that Big fans of schools in the Big 12 have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, because even through the whole course of this season, you kept hearing about, like, TCU, even if they go undefeated, might not get in this thing. They might take a one-loss Tennessee team over them and all this stuff.
Well, it's set now for them.
Yeah,
they win their
it's own. There. But so it's like you hate to see – like, I don't think even K-State fans don't really want to see TCU not make the playoff, but – I mean, that's secondary. You want to win the Big 12 title, but it's just so Big 12 because the whole reason this – because let's be honest, this game shouldn't be happening.
This game is happening because TCU got screwed in 2014.
Yeah, they already played each
other. How many times has the Big 12 cost themselves a spot in either the national championship game or the college football playoffs because of their conference?
Their title game, they cost themselves in 96 when Texas beat Nebraska. Cost themselves in –
A&M and K-State.
In 98, A&M and K-State. In
Mizzou.
2001, Colorado got pointed out on computers. They won the game. I wonder if Texas, I wouldn't say Texas was definitely in 2001, so definitely not there. But Missouri, I mean, Oklahoma lost in 2003 and still made it, because the stupid computers said they were good enough to do it. So that one didn't cost them.
Go ahead and mention Missouri again.
I'm going to say 07 Missouri, but they weren't going to beat Oklahoma. I mean, they couldn't beat them twice that year.
But it cost them a spot in the national championship game.
It did.
All I can tell you is twice in my life the Missouri's had a chance to go to the national championship game or the playoffs if they win the conference title game, and they lost the conference title game, so I hate conference title
You know,
games,
the thing
so
about
whatever.
It is, at least in those days that we're talking about, there were divisions. And you needed a championship game, really, because you didn't play the
same
schedule.
Right, you didn't play them. And many times, sometimes there were repeats, but it's 50% chance it's not going to be a repeat. This
still happens.
Now, I would say in 2014, not having a game, they would say, cost them a chance because they didn't get that data point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that cost them. In 2000, they brought it back in 2017, and perhaps that extra data point helped Oklahoma go to the college football playoff because they had it. But I don't know.
Because
they had a loss.
Because they say one true champion. Didn't you just establish that with TCU?
No, not yet, because you have to really verify the trueness. It's like
they
went
two
factor
they played everybody in the league and they
That's
beat
stupid.
Them.
Yeah, but it's two factor
they played
authentication.
Every single team in the league and they beat them. This is absurd.
This is only the second time in the history of the round robin, which started in 2011, that someone has gone undefeated in this league, and this is the only time they're going to be asked to prove it, because the last time was 2016. With Oklahoma, and they didn't have the title game then. So TCU is being asked to do something that no one else has done by winning.
This is what is absurd. College football, the whole system is such a joke. Put the conference champs in, period.
Well, that's what we're getting to.
Just put the conference champs in. Because, you know what? Who's to say that the best team in the Pac-12 isn't better than TCU? We don't know. They don't play the same schedule. Just because you have two losses in a completely different schedule than another team doesn't mean anything. And we all this, you know what? Who's the best team in the SEC? Put them in. Instead of this garbage, like they already played. Like we saw Georgia kick Tennessee's ass. Why do we have to see Tennessee in the playoff game after that? Now, they went on.
They lost.
So it's not. But the fact that that's even a conversation, it's just so absurd.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the SEC is better than everybody else for the most part.
Yes, parts of it.
You know, parts of it. But I just, like, it's just so stupid that, like, you're going through these. The whole point should be who's the best team in the Big 12? They played the whole season.
That's where we're
going
to get. When with that 12-team playoff, you're going to get to tell them who your champion is, and they're going to get in this thing.
And look, K-State's really good.
Yeah, they are.
Really good. And I'm really, like, I'm not trying to say, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say that this is silly. They
don't
have divisions
in
the Big 12.
Is going to get foisted on its own petard here because they didn't need to do this. And they did it because they felt they needed to do it, and now they're going to get got.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
They did it to help the likes
of
TCU, and now it's going to screw TCU.
Yes.
Whatever. And I don't care about TCU. Whatever.
TCU's a great story this year. It's a first-year coach. All this talk about all these big first-year coaches got all this money, right? Brent Venables moved. Brian Kelly moved. Billy Napier at Florida's making $7 million. Dan Lanning is up in Oregon, and Miami's got a new – all this stuff, right? You know who was all – oh, boy, you know who's going to be great this year? That's Sonny Dykes. He's going to be really good. dude has gone out and gone 12-0. That's amazing. With a team that needed something new. They needed a new spark. Because this is a lot of guys on this team who have been there for a couple of 3 years. Max Duggan has been there for a long time. And Gary Patterson is a Hall of Fame college football coach. He's great. But they needed something a little bit different. And they brought in something different, and they've won all these freaking games. So Sonny Dykes is amazing, and he's outstanding. And I don't know if it's going to be something that's going to be sustainable for like 10 years or something like that. But, boy, he has got lightning in a bottle this year, and they have taken care of business. And no one has talked very much about that hire when it happened. It was all about everyone else. Who's going to hire this guy or that guy? And Sonny Dykes was like, oh, okay, TCU, just they got the guy across the street, come from SMU to come over there. And they're amazing.
We do need to talk about Chris Klieman and K-State, too, though, because they did go out and take care of business against a Kansas team that's much better than the ones they've had to play in the past. And the thing that I don't think should be understated about that is Chris Klieman has picked up where Bill Snyder left off in the idea that we don't lose to Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have a letdown game. We don't have any of that stuff. And obviously Ron Prince was not able to carry over a lot of the stuff. And you can just take that for granted, but it shouldn't be taken for granted. Because a lot of times we've seen it even with the Chiefs. You know, some coaches come in and go, it's the Raiders, whatever. It's not a big deal to us, you know. But like other coaches, they emphasize those things. And for Chris Klieman to have this team in the Big 12 championship game, He's done an incredible job maintaining some things that Bill Snyder did that's really hard to maintain.
Okay, so I want to ask you guys about this topic, because this is going to be a big topic over in the next week or so when this all happens. So PowerMizzou.com, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and Dave Matter all reporting that Mizzou's leading wide receiver, Dominic Lovett, is planning to enter the transfer portal in December when the window opens, December 5th. And so then there were rumors about Luther Burden, but Gabe DeArmond at PowerMizzou.com reporting that he's hearing that Luther Burden is not entering the transfer portal, or at least not expected to, and he's expected to stay. And so this, you know, and I was reading what Gabe wrote and how he said this is going to be like the wild, wild west. People don't realize how wild this is going to be on December 5th, and there are players on everyone's roster that you will not anticipate entering the transfer portal because of money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, for Dominic Lovett, I mean, you know, you can't really complain about how they used him, because he was one of the, as far as numbers, had one of the best statistical seasons.
He was their best offensive player,
right,
consistently all year long. Right.
But now he could complain about maybe he doesn't like playing with his quarterback, whatever else. But there's two things I want to ask you. Number one, because now people are having this discussion, what does this mean for schools? K-State has relied heavily on development in high school recruiting for Kansas trying to rebuild a program, for Missouri. Here Eli Drinkwitz comes in. He's recruiting high school very well. But now some of these guys may not stay around to be developed. And this is wholesale free agency. And so there, it may widen the gap between schools that have all this money and the blue bloods of college football versus the other schools that are just trying. But hey, there's pluses and minuses. A lot then some of these big schools that have five-star kids aren't getting playing time. They'll transfer down to a school and play like Mookie Cooper did from Ohio State to Mizzou. So it's going to – and a lot of the success – for schools like Mizzou are going to depend on how their coaches and how the coaching staffs can deal with the transfer portal. And so apparently, according to the reports, they've known about Lovett wanting to enter the transfer portal for a while now. And now I want to play this clip from last week. You can listen to it differently, because now you know Drinkwitz knew that his number one receiver was going to enter the transfer portal. I want you to play this clip and then get your reaction to it, Todd. And I respect both of you guys' opinions about this. What do you think this is going to end up doing to the Mizzou's and the KU's of the world, and even a team like Kansas State, who they're a great program, but they depend heavily on development, and they're not considered a blue blood, even though their success has been tremendous. Here, listen to what Eli Drinkwitz said last week about this.
Very thankful for the fans. You know, we got a great fan base Saturday night. Those who stuck it out in some really tough conditions.
I don't think that's the clip, Marco. We'll go ahead and cut that off right there. because it starts off with "Be careful what you wish for," and he goes into well. Todd, you fill until Marco finds the right clip.
You know, the idea here with this thing is, and we've been talking about this for years, all the coaches have been "be careful what you ask for." They've done a lot of things, the NCAA has, to benefit the players, okay? Because the players, in many people's minds, have been exploited over the decades because it's, you know, the coaches are making millions of dollars, the schools are making money, the schools are spending money, and the players were, quote-unquote, uncompensated. Although they did get scholarships, full cost of tuition, you know, stipends, and all the different things that that lots of kids can't get. And now they've added this part to it, but because they want to have the players be happy. And then they put the transfer portal in because players aren't happy. Coaches get to leave, can't leave. And it is literally going to be the wild, wild west here next week when this all goes down. And you're exactly right. There could be schools left out. Now, I think what you have to have is you have to have a culture where guys don't want to just go and go get and catch a fast dollar. Okay, that's what you have to build. But it takes time to build that, and it takes the right people, it takes the right teammates, it takes the right everything to build that. And it also, you can't do it for nothing. I mean, players have to be able to get a little NIL money, and you just can't do it on good faith and hugs and kisses, because that's not going to work. I feel there's some perfect balance out there for schools who have nice tradition, nice culture, and some rich donors who want to give money to kids for no real reason. But I think back to this stuff, and the number of college athletes who are net losses for schools is high. This is what Mike Boynton has told us a couple of times. I talked to him at Big 12 championship, the Big 12 Media Days, head coach of Oklahoma State. He was a scholarship athlete at South Carolina, played basketball. Wasn't very good. But you know what he got? He got free college, and he got to go around and play basketball. And without going there, he wouldn't have gotten a degree. He wouldn't have got to be a college coach making a couple million dollars. He flat out said it. Not everyone is worth paying a bunch of money to. He had Cade Cunningham. That guy was worth it. Most players, even in basketball, especially in football, when you're talking about 85 guys on scholarship, most of those players aren't benefiting the university to the cost of even their scholarship. Their return on investment is less than what they bring.
Do you think this diminishes the importance of high school or of high school recruiting?
I think you got to get them first, but it does change the dynamic. You know, let someone else develop them for a couple of years, and then go and then bring them in with some money. I see if they can play a little bit, and what we're going to see is if you're too old school in this, you're going to lose as a coach. You're not going to be able to win this game, this part of the game. You have to be able to adapt and understand that this is the way we live. This is the rules we play by, right? So way back when they, you know, you didn't throw the forward pass. And, well, I'm never going to throw the forward pass. This is dumb. Well, you know what? You got left behind. So the NIL and the transfer portal and being able to work it is like, yeah, we're going to throw the ball. We're going to spread it wide. This is the new way to do it. And if you sit there and you say, I'm going to do it the way I did it, you're going to get left behind. So it's going to be wild for schools, because so many of these schools are invested heavily in these coaches and the coaching staffs. We've seen they'll fire guys and pay them. But if you got the wrong guy who's on a $8 or $9 million a year contract and he doesn't do this right, wow, that's going to hurt too.
Just play the clip, and we'll go into break right after it, and then we'll just come back from the other side and get Lebo and Nate's reaction, because I do hear this differently knowing now that he knew about Lovett entering the transfer portal and probably some other players that are going to be unexpected to be in the transfer portal. Here's Jenkins, what he said last week.
Be careful what you wish for. So I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to try to be measured with some of the things I say, just because I think this stuff always gets to be put back on you and all that stuff. But, you know, I think back to the question talked about growth, and very rarely is growth just like this. And very rarely in life, whether it's the story of Bamboo, who Bamboo grows very little for 6 years, and then 6 weeks he'll sprout 6 feet. Whether you're talking about my father-in-law, who's a farmer, and you don't plant seed and it grows the next day, you got to go through a spring, you got to go through rain, you got to go through mud, you got to go through heat, and then something great comes and bursts through the ground for that. I think we're such a instant gratification era, including myself. I'm not putting this on anybody. It's the entire world we live in, that we're trying to skip the step of adversity and growth. And you're never going to be able to skip that in life. You're always going to have to face it, whether that's in your marriage, whether that's in your job, whether that's raising kids. And I know what's happened. We want to, as parents, as older people, we want to help the next generation not have to face some of the hardships that we faced. But man, the greatest generation in the world is the greatest generation, because they faced the Great Depression, they faced the World War II. You know, they figured it out. And I just worry about, there's going to be players who leave our program, and I love them dearly. And it's maybe they're not excited about their role, or they're frustrated because they don't feel like they're being utilized the right way. And sometimes you just got to keep growing, sometimes the grass isn't always greener on the other side, and sometimes you're just trading one set of problems for another. So
Cincinnati, they got us twice last year. We didn't tackle very well, and we didn't tackle the quarterback. We had a lot of missed opportunities last year. They're going to kind of end the game with sacks and get them behind the sticks. No, we didn't do that. So that kind of sticks out on me, and I also had two drop interceptions, I believe, that game. So that's kind of one of the things kind of stung in the offseason. I looked back at the game and watched it.
Did he sort of send you into the offseason? I don't know if it's a little edge or motivation, but did that game linger with you a little?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I don't think I played very good personally. So I feel like this year I had to come in and be better for our defense to be where it needs to be. And I spent a lot of time on that one in the offseason.
That was Chiefs linebacker Nick Bolton talking about the two losses to Cincinnati last year. The Chiefs beat the Rams yesterday 26-10, but it was just a very odd game. That at times I agree with Sam McDowell and what he said, just kind of almost felt like a preseason game. Todd Lebo, Nate Buchady, do you have any comments before we move on to the Chiefs and what they did against the Rams in this huge, gigantic, ginormous game against the Bengals on Sunday?
Well, my only comment in following up to the comments that you played from Eli Drinkwitz as a follow-up is that, we heard those, I think it was on Friday or last Thursday, Wednesday last week, whenever it was.
They sound different to me now.
I retweeted them and in support, because in general, I agree with the message that he was saying. If you just take it in a vacuum, I do believe that the best things that have come to me in my life have come through sticking through things when maybe it would have been easier to quit. I do believe that there are times, most of my life, like I said, most things that have happened in my life that have been really worthwhile involved enduring a little bit of adversity and sticking with it and growing because of it and then reaping the rewards down the road. So I believe in all that stuff. And I do think that everything about our society kind of discourages that these days. And I do think that people will miss out on some things that they otherwise could have achieved in their lives because it's just easier to quit and do something else, or because we're just so programmed to believe that we need it right now. Everything in our life is on demand these days. So I agree with all that. But I have people pushing back on me and telling me how antiquated I am. I'm basically saying you should stick in a terrible dead-end job that sucks instead of taking a better job that pays more money with more opportunity. And that's not what I'm saying at all. There are situations in life that you got to get yourself out of because there's a better situation on the other end. But I do think a huge part of that situation is, where is it going to get you down the road? Okay, because you might be able to transfer to another school and get more money right now. But what you should be thinking about, I think, if I ever had a kid that was in this position, which I probably won't, but if I did, let's not. And I mean, I remember being given this advice early in my career. Don't take the job that's going to pay you more right now. Take the job that's going to get you where you want to be in 5 years from now. And that's not always the same thing, mm-hmm. And so I do think, like, the thing about these transfers, like the Lovett kid, okay, there's going to be a lot of different types of transfers. Not all of them, we're going to, people were tweeting at me as if they're all going to be the same. Some guys are going to transfer. Let's look at Jalen Daniels. How many schools are lining up to throw money at Jalen Daniels right now?
Money.
I'm guessing a lot of them. I'm guessing a lot of them are going, holy cow, Kansas has a quarterback. Sure, we can get
$100
him.
$100 bills, y'all.
So it's going to be a real challenge for Lance Leipold to convince him to stay. That's one type of transfer. Then there's going to be the type of transfer where the coach is like, you know, you ain't playing here. You might want to look and go somewhere else.
Right.
Right? Coaches are going to do that to kids, too.
Because they may need a spot.
They might need a spot, or they might decide, you know what, you're not exactly what we were looking for. Or they've recruited over him.
Yeah, there's a new coach in, and
that
I don't
happens.
Need this guy. You know?
So there's also the kid that there is going to be some kids that go, well, I'm not getting as much playing time as I wanted. I'm going somewhere else. Somebody's promising me that the grass is greener over there. And they're going to make a mistake doing it. That's going to happen, too. Like, all three of those things are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
How could you tell a kid? So like, and your question, Stephen, to be more specific about these local schools here, what does that do to Kansas? I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure because it does feel
I'm
like—
I'm just telling you, it diminishes the importance of high school recruiting the way this is set up right now.
I mean, or maybe for schools like Kansas, that's where you start finding your talent because all the big schools aren't going to be looking at the high school kids as much anymore. They're going to be more scholarships out there for good high school players because Alabama's going to now just start poaching all the good players from all that have already proven that they're good, and so they're not going to have as many scholarship offers for the high school kids. I think it's going
to
be
interesting. That's why you need to look for transfers because you're going to get recruited a really good high school player, develop him for a year or two, and then he's going to go someplace else.
Well, not everyone can fall up. A lot of the guys are going to transfer, and there won't be a spot for them, and they'll go somewhere different and won't be happy.
Right.
But, hey,
let's
doing everything for the kids. Let's go. Do whatever you want, I guess.
Let's go to the Chiefs now. There just wasn't much. My biggest takeaway from the game yesterday is that Sky Moore should never return a punt again.
Now, Andy laughed when Adam asked him after the game. He says, this the end? Here. He goes, We'll see. Yes, it is the end. I thought this game, guys, this felt like, let's say it's Wednesday night in August of 2015 or something, and this was just a Royals game that happened. You know what I mean? Nothing exceptional happened. You know, no one hit a home run. Oh, they won 5-2, and the other team, you know, their starter couldn't go. It was just this football game just happened. Okay, fine. You won the game, and if you're going to have something that just happens, you better go win the game. This game's coming up Sunday is not just a football game. This one coming up Sunday is you are playing the team that can affect everyone over the past last month of the season. They affected Tennessee yesterday, right? They beat them.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Chiefs this Sunday. They end the year with the Ravens and Bills. So the Bengals will affect everybody down the stretch here. And they already started that yesterday, and now the Chiefs have revenge because they keep using this stat. You know, they haven't lost a game in November, December, or however long. The trick of that stat is they lost to the Bills the Bengals in January because, you know, it was the last game of the season.
Well, you smart mouth.
I'm just saying. It's not like they won all the games that mattered, okay?
Hey, but the Chiefs could also help keep the Bengals from winning the division.
Absolutely. This is huge for them as well.
Yes.
I think this is a monster game for the Chiefs for the reasons that they lost to them twice last year.
Chiefs!
Once on the road and once at home. And then it's still brought up at your party Saturday night. Your buddy Sam says, man, I still think about you telling me there was nothing to worry about in the AFC Championship game in the parking lot before, and he was cussing my name for a year.
That's right.
It's not my fault they didn't stop the Bengals in the second half. Don't blame me, Sam.
Ah, you jinxed it.
Anyway.
Listen to me.
But this game is huge, and I think the Chiefs will be supremely focused on this game.
Pissed off Patrick Mahomes is the best Patrick Mahomes.
He is the best. And I think this I don't expect – you listen, Ja'Marr Chase is going to play, they think, right? But I don't think he's going to be at that peak that he was last year, especially in the regular season game where you just threw the ball and he was just going to catch it. And hopefully – like yesterday's game was relatively penalty and mistake free. That game last year was a mess with all the penalties that happened, and it was a tough watch. It was. And the Chiefs had a lead in that game, and they blew it, and they messed the clock up at the end, and all those things. I hope this is a much cleaner, better game, but I think the Chiefs, when focused And this will be, like I said, they will be laser focused on this game, because Chris Jones was talking about this game in May when we talked to him. He's still thinking about plays in the title game where he couldn't get guys. I mean, so this one has been in their car. You heard Nick Bolton there. They all did something bad in that game. And
Nick
Bolton both of those
could
games.
Have ended that game with a pick.
Yes.
Chris Jones is turning in the best year of his career. And I don't think, and I think it has been largely motivated by the failed, ability to sack Joe Burrow in that game. I think that fueled him the entire offseason. I think he's been on a mission. So it's going to be really interesting to see how much they can get after him in this game, because this is a better pass rush that the Chiefs have this year. And they know that's the biggest reason they lost that game. There's a lot of reasons. Like you said, everybody can carry something, but that's the biggest reason they lost that game.
He's on a mission from God.
Yeah.
Hey, you know who else this is a big game for? Because I asked him about this, and he said he had this game circled, and he had a look in his eye that frightened me. And we don't think about this because he hasn't been a Chief for very long. Carlos Dunlap.
Yeah, home.
When he talked about this the day we interviewed him in the tent, and we, you know, why the Chiefs? He goes, there was a few games that I have circled that played into my decision. He wants to go back to Cincinnati, pretty bad. I'm just gonna tell you that right now. And he's been look, that interception by Bolton was caused by his deflection.
Football, yeah.
He's been a very nice piece. And so just keep your eyes on Carlos Dunlap, because he could be balls to the wall against, I don't know why I said that, against Cincinnati. But let me ask you guys something, and nobody cares about my quarterback rankings, but for some reason, after watching the NFL yesterday, I thought about this, and I like to throw out the top five, and it's ever changing, and boy, has it changed from last year.
Is Mahomes in this week? Is Mahomes in?
Patrick Mahomes, for the 1,000,000th consecutive ranking, is number one.
Okay. Shocking.
I have Josh Allen number two, but I almost put Joe Burrow number two.
Joe Burrow makes plays, man.
But I hate him.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now I have Mahomes one, Josh Allen two, Joe Burrow three, Jalen Hurts four.
Jalen Hurts is playing like a man.
And then I was on his bandwagon when he got drafted. So I'll say, yeah, I was a Hurts guy. And I like the fact that at one point yesterday, the quarterback matchup in that game last night was Love Hurts.
That's right.
And I don't know why Marco won't play that song, because love does hurt.
Where are you putting Justin Herbert after his big performance yesterday coming back?
Dude,
I will say that was
badass.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you.
For a second yesterday, it was an amazing – it was going to be a great Chiefs Sunday where all three teams in the West lost and the Chiefs won. That's happened this year.
Yeah.
And then they both got a race. A couple of the two-point conversion
and the
overtime.
The NFC West is so bad they can lose to the AFC West.
That's how bad they are.
The Broncos held up their end of the deal.
They did. Then, the Broncos can always be depended on.
The defensive lineman was screaming at Russell Wilson on the sideline.
I bet he was screaming, let's ride.
Listen, so number four, I have Hurts. Number five, I have a tie. I hate ties, but I just couldn't pick.
It's group
Herbert
stage.
Herbert and Tua.
Tua is that – they are going to be a problem if they stay healthy for people
him.
In the postseason. Now, maybe if they go cold weather or something, it'll be tough for them. Mm-hmm. But they were offensively outstanding yesterday, and they took the foot off the gas.
Okay,
they were coming off a bye,
them.
And that was really good.
Give me your top, because there's a chance we're watching number one versus number two on Sunday, but I'm still going to lean Josh Allen. But, man, I would not argue if someone said Joe Burrow number two. I wouldn't argue about anything between Hurts, Herbert, Tua. And the only thing I'm sure of is Patrick Mahomes is number one.
I like all of those guys
sure of
in there. We didn't mention Lamar Jackson, but they lost yesterday.
Nope.
He's a very dynamic player. But, I mean, the usual suspects are there. But, listen, I think we've kind of poo-pooed the fact that Joe Burrow went to the Super Bowl last year. You know, no one seems to care that the Bengals went to the Super Bowl.
They got them three.
I know, but people around the league, it's all Chiefs and Bills and all this stuff. They went to the Super Bowl last year. They had a little rough start this year, but as I said, their schedule sets up to where they're going to be an effect on a lot of people's schedule. They barely won all of their games last year, right? In the postseason, they barely lost the Super Bowl. They were a play away from maybe winning the Super Bowl, and then they would be the champs. And I don't know if we'd think about them differently then. But I think you're right with what you're saying. You got to keep Josh Allen at two at this point. but he's playing himself out of two with his, you know, red zone interceptions and stuff like that. And Burrow is making big plays when it matters. So I think this is a game they wish they could flex and
like
put it on
said,
prime
Burrow,
time, but they can't.
Right. Burrow's been to the Super Bowl and Josh Allen hasn't.
Exactly.
To me, that's a factor. Nate Buchady, what is your opinion of my top five? How would you change it?
I'm going Burrow second right now, and I was on the Burrow. I was not on the Hurts bandwagon, so I can't take credit there. He has so far exceeded what I thought he was going to be, and I love him. I like everything about him. I like what he, you know, the way he carries himself, the way he leads the team, you know, the way he has been a guy that wasn't expected to. He wasn't one of the guys that was supposed to be a star. He wasn't a top 10 pick. So I love Hurts, but I was on Burrow. I thought Burrow was a stud, even though and I usually don't tend to go for the guys that play surrounded by the kind of talent he did in college, because I think it's hard to evaluate him. But I just thought, man, he's tough. He's got moxie to him. I like him. And here's why I'm giving him the edge over Josh Allen right now. He's doing it. They won three games in a row, not against the greatest competition in the world or anything, but that win at the Titans to me says something. Without Jamar Chase, you know, without Jamar Chase, because like we're talking about Tua, I'm still not sure how great Tua is, because look at the weapons that dude has now, you know, and obviously all these guys we're talking about, they have weapons, but to me, like, Mahomes has just like cemented that he's better than everybody
else.
This
year's amazing
by doing
no
what
Tyreek,
he's doing without Tyreek Hill, you know. And so for Burrow to do this and help this team win games without Jamar Chase, I think puts him up a notch. And whatever's going on with Josh Allen throwing picks in the red zone is knocking him down just a little bit for me. Now, if he overcomes that, I would have given him the nod because of his ability to run the ball. Like, you can count on him to get a first down when you need it on the ground, and or to run the ball in to the end zone when you need it. But these red zone interceptions are kind of hurting their team.
Yeah.
Not kind of, they're really hurting their team. So I'm going Burrow just slightly over Josh Allen right now.
One final question. Nate and I's worlds collided on Twitter last night. Did you get a chance to watch around 7-hour Twitter tirade by Canelo Alvarez against Messi last night?
No.
it appears that now, if they were ever in the same room, Canelo is going to punch him.
Uh-oh.
Which is, I think, problems for Messi.
What's his anger?
Because there's video of Messi with either the Mexican flag and or jersey on the floor in the locker room, and they were, I guess, mopping the floor with it, and then he kicked it. Some say he was just kicking his shoe off, but then Canelo saw it and went crazy and tweeted all kinds
disrespect.
Dude, go read him. Canelo tweeted about this for about 7 hours, and there's like 30 tweets, and then he started fighting with a guy from ESPN who covers soccer, and they went back and forth, and then all these people were thinking, at least Canelo defends Mexico, nobody else does, and blah, blah, blah. And so I thought, Nate, you would have seen that.
Yeah, the World Cup turns things ugly. United States is going through
Canelo's
that right
Twitter
now
account.
With the Iranian media.
Yeah.
It's great.
Right now, what is your level of concern about the U.S. men's national team as they have to win or go home tomorrow?
Couldn't ask for much more. You told them 6 months ago, if you beat Iran, you give advance to the knockout stage. I think they all would have taken it. So it's all right there for them. There's a lot of stuff going around there with this discussion of the Iranian flag and the U.S. soccer Twitter page and all this stuff it's going to be a real distraction.
This presser has been incredible today, just watching it following along on Twitter.
There is trouble afoot in the international stuff there. But the game itself, America's got a chance. And they with all the stuff from like our youth and just things in the world, all those little rivalry stuff and the real-life war things and everything, the soccer is the soccer. And this would be a great deal if the United States were able to beat Iran and advance through and say bye-bye to them. It would be awesome.
Canelo, one of them said, saw Messi cleaning the floor with our jersey and flag. He should ask God that I don't find him. Hey. I'll leave it on that note. All right. Thank you, Todd. That's a wide variety of topics that you could tackle. Very good.
All right, buddy.
Very good. Now you go have some fun, all right?
Okay.
Thank you. That's Todd Lebo. We'll be back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Victory Monday. Chiefs beat the Rams 26-10. And right now we're joined by Gary Lezak. Hello, Gary.
Good morning. How does it feel to be 50 years old?
Well, I'm not officially 50 yet. I got a couple more days in my 40s, and then I'm 50 on Wednesday.
Is it November 30th?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. How does it feel to be almost 50 years old?
Not great, but how does it feel? You have impeccable timing, or perhaps you were just waiting out in the parking lot. As soon as you walk in, it was time to sing happy birthday, and you took the microphone, and you were wonderful, a duet between you and Richie St. John, and that was a very good picture I sent you, wasn't it?
That was an incredible picture. I did put it on Facebook if you want to go see it, and yeah. I mean, I walked, and, you know, it was Andy's Aunt Karen's 75th birthday party.
Oh, Aunt Karen.
It was really an epic party there. And then we got out of there, and his dad, Andy's dad, dropped me off. And I walk in 1 minute or so before, you know, all that happened. I came in, gave Nate a big hug, and him and his wife and I got a great picture. Then I brought your Stephen St. John specialty drink the stairs to you. I can't believe I intercepted that. And I delivered it, and then within 45 seconds I was on stage. It was special, and it just felt good.
Well, that Susan St. John throws a hell of a party at
yes,
you know, for birthdays, for anniversaries, for anything. You know what, she should be a party planner is
She's
what
amazing.
She should be. You know that
she is.
And yeah, what a great F325 barbecue, and NKC was the great host, and you stole the show like you always do, Gary.
Yeah, well, I didn't have to think about it. I just walked in and everything was happening.
Right.
Crazy. So, yeah, Sky Moore should not be receiving punts, but he's looking good as a receiver. I mean, I'm impressed. He seems to be doing good routes. He seems to have that flair after the catch. There's something that I didn't see, and now we're seeing. What do you think? Don't you? I mean, besides the punts, I mean, yeah, he should stop receiving punts. But besides that, as a wide receiver, what do you grade him right now?
No, he's getting better. He's just never ever let him return a punt again, and I'm happy.
Yeah, there you go. Yep, no more. All right, for punts. Weather-wise in Kansas City, this is my last week on television. Thursday night, 6 p.m. newscast will be my last show. We'll talk about that more later in the week. I'm going on to you know, do Weather 2020 and promote the LRC around the world. We have some world customers coming in, more on that as well. But right now, it's going to be an emotional week, and the weather's going to cooperate pretty good. There's a chance of a few snowflakes on Tuesday night, but nothing significant. And the weather's looking outstanding. In Cincinnati, there's a chance of some rain showers Sunday, so we'll see what happens with that. What time is that game?
It's a noon game, I believe.
Noon?
Did I say nude game? Noon.
Yeah, nude game. That's your prime time.
No, 325.
Okay, I was going to say, it has to be prime time. It's the game of the week. My goodness.
325 on CBS.
Revenge, okay? The Chiefs better come in focus. They were not focused yesterday, and they still won easily. Okay? Revenge. I can't wait. Today's high temperature in Kansas City will be around 52 degrees. Tomorrow, 64, but a very strong cold front is going to blast through us tomorrow evening. Temperatures are going to drop tomorrow night, and it'll be a cold Wednesday. And then it's going to warm back up. So there is your forecast. I know we're out of time. Have a great Victory Monday, everyone, and we'll see you on KSHB 41 this afternoon. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Gary. Coming up next, we'll talk to Adam Teicher about the Chiefs on this Victory Monday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.